You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM, 930 AM, and 1270 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Good morning. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will bring you programs about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. This is Deacon John, and I'm with the Black Catholic Initiative. And I'm on site this morning, surprise, at 1825 West Monterey Avenue. We're at the Catholic Youth Ministry Center across the street from Morgan Park High School. And I'm with the director, who is Peggy Goddard. And Peggy, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Peggy, thank you for giving me the time to come out this morning and see your wonderful youth center. It's so beautiful.
Thank you. It's a great place.
Yeah, and it has a colonial look to it, and it's just a beautiful house, a big house, in fact, that I'm accustomed to seeing down south, something of this structure. So it really catches your eye as you're driving down the street here on Monterey. And I'm especially excited because I learned, too, that you and I've got some similar background.
We certainly do.
So tell us a little bit about that background and how it is that we know each other somewhat indirectly.
You know, when you first stopped by one day and you told me that you were here, that you were deacon at St. Felicitas, I honestly thought you were here because I, too, graduated from St. Felicitas. And I thought you were here in some way and some connection with St. Felicitas. I was surprised to find out that that was not the case, that you were here for something else. But as we got to talking, we realized that I graduated from St. Felicitas with your brother, Kerry.
That's correct.
And you mentioned that you had gone on with my younger brother, Pat, to Mount Carmel, where he played basketball.
Correct. With a mentor of mine, I guess when I was a youth, I used to look up to this guy, Kevin Eberhardt.
Kevin Eberhardt, who now works here with us.
Now, that's just too small of a world there. Yes. I tell you, and I didn't know that. And I knew Kevin was working because I would see him from time to time. And Peggy, as you know, Kevin was a big star both at St. Felicitas and Mount Carmel.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Pat was as well. Mm-hmm. And they're still good friends.
They are very, very good friends. So that's wonderful to think that the, you know, friendship goes on that long.
So how long have you been here as director of this beautiful house?
Well, you know, I started here part-time as a bookkeeper 36 years ago.
Wow.
And I think I've been the director probably about 25. You know, I kind of fell into it. I started working here, realized how much I loved high school kids, and what a blessing they are as you watch them grow and change and become productive adults, which is certainly our hope for all of them.
Now, you know, the neighborhood obviously has changed some, and that's one of the things that really made me curious to the ministry that you have here. You know, you're basically, I would think, an Irish family.
Yes.
For the most part.
For
yes.
The most part. Mm-hmm.
And you're Catholic.
Yes.
And yet you're serving an African-American community predominantly.
Yes.
And you're serving a school that's public.
Right.
So how do you explain that?
Well, you know, when the Ministry Center began 35 years ago, or 36 years ago, parishes, the Catholic parishes, some of the Protestant parishes in the community, a lot of community leaders got together and they wanted to create something for our local public high school. So they they started a center based on the concept of a Newman Center on a college campus, where you kind of have church right there where the kids are, and you kind of sit back and see what happened. So, or what happens. So as it has gone on, we have changed our programs and our ways of doing things as the demographics at the school changed, as the something simple as closing the campus. When we first began here, the campus was open, so we had young people in here all day. They'd come over and have lunch here and then go back to their next class. So we would have kids from 10 o'clock until 4 or 5 o'clock every afternoon, sometimes 6 and 7 o'clock. And about probably almost 8 or 10 years ago now, the local school council, of which I am a member, we voted to close the campus for obvious safety reasons and such. It was much needed. And so we became an after-school program. So all of our kids are here now, starting about 1:30, quarter to 2 is when the first group of junior high kids come, and then our high school kids are here by about quarter to 3.
You know, that sounds really interesting. And as I'm hearing the kids right outside the door here, sounds like they're having a good time. You know, it reminds me, though, of a college setting. Mm-hmm. You know, when you had ministries set up like this, a lot of them, I remember when I went to college, they had situations like this. And these were like non-denominational ministries where, of course, they could attract any denomination and just kind of keep a spiritual life going.
Right, exactly.
And so this is what I see that is so significant with your space here. You know, you've had, and I've looked at a video that you had produced, you've had over 10,000 or more youth that have passed through your center, correct?
We have, yes.
And so it shows on that video that the youth are doing a number of things here. I wanted to ask you, first of all, what kind of activities are being held here? What are the youth doing, and how is it helping them?
Mm-hmm. Well, our first focus is that we are a ministry of hospitality. So we provide a drop-in center for our young people at the end of their school day. You know, you were commenting on this old house, which is well over 100 years old. And for the kids, for a lot of the kids, it's really their home away from home. They can come here after school. There's adults that care about them, that are interested in what's going on in their lives, what's happening at school. You know, in today, the many, many families, both mom and dad work, and there's just nobody home after school. And, you know, kids need somebody to be interested in what's going on in their lives. And sometimes we can fill that void until the time comes when they get home for dinner, hopefully, or whatever the case may be. So that's kind of how we get the kids to come in, mm-hmm. Just by accepting whoever they are, wherever they're at, whatever it is that they're doing at that moment. And then we try to involve them in our more formal activities. So we do educational workshops once a month. We did one in November. That also is a St. Jude College application contest, so kids can complete the universal college application form and one of the essay questions and win cash prizes. So
that's neat.
It is. We hope it is. Interestingly enough, the day I did the plans with the kids, one of our young men came over immediately afterwards and handed me his essay. And he had completed the application that was the presentation, was how to complete the application. So okay. He was ready. He was ready, and hopefully he's going to win some cash by the within the next week or so.
That's awesome. I tell you what, when we come back after this commercial break, I'd like for you to explain more to me about the different types of activities that are going on, too, like what they're doing now. And I can hear that there's a lot of, I guess, voices going on out there. I don't know. Part of it is they're just talking, and that's a great thing. But we're going to join you again after this commercial break, okay? All right.
Cemetery Ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Hey, this is Deacon John. I'm back. And our guest here this morning is Peggy Goddard. And Peggy is the director of the Catholic Youth Ministry Center at Morgan Park High School. And we're having a very exciting conversation. At least I'm excited. And I hope the listeners are as well, as we have found a diamond in the rough. A ministry here on the southwest side of Chicago that is serving a public school of African-American students and have been for some time. Peggy tells me that they're celebrating, I guess, 35 years or 36 years going on.
Oh, yeah.
And that is awesome. Even though the demographics have changed, you are still standing strong. And I'm going to tell you something, Peggy, congratulations.
Thank you.
Because, yes, it's not often that a not-for-profit organization can weather the storms that you've had to weather over the years to still be standing.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Any not-for-profit in the city of Chicago or anywhere in the state of Illinois is struggling these days.
You're doggone right, and I know a little bit about that, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, before we left for the commercial break, we were getting to the point of activities that the youth are doing, and like I said, I know I can hear them outside your office here. They sound like they're having a good time, but what kind of activities do they have where they can come in and spend time playing or partake in?
Okay, so right now we have a group of young people. Every month we choose about four or five young people to be our Blue House Stars of the Month. And the STARS stands for Setting Targets and Reaching Success. And these young people get together two or three times and they plan some kind of an activity. So this month, they're, of course, doing a Christmas party, but they wanted to do a Secret Santa grab bag kind of a thing. So yesterday, there was a lot of flurry with kids pulling names, and some kids weren't here, so they're finding out today who they have. And hopefully next week when they have their party, they will be bringing gifts for one another. They're planning to play Christmas bingo. They've got a movie they want to watch.
I love that.
Yeah, and of course, there's always food involved. So.
Well, I want to be a kid again.
How about it? And the nice thing is that the kids are the ones that plan it. And, you know, quite honestly, I am not a kid anymore. And I'm a grandma now. And I don't know what will be something fun for the high school kids to do. So I think they are much better at it than I am. And they come up with, they've come up with some great ideas. They've had talent shows. They've had scavenger hunts. They did musical chairs in September. That was an afternoon of musical chairs. And I tell you, there is nothing more wonderful to see than a bunch of high school kids, mostly boys,
right,
in our yard playing musical chairs. You know, it's my personal belief that young people today don't have enough time to play. And we let them play, and it's okay to play here because everybody's playing here. So you don't have to be as tough as you do in other places in the world. So we also do Hope Community Service projects, helping others and providing encouragement. So right now we're in the throes of a food drive. At last count, there were well over 100 cans of food or food items that have been dropped off by kids, by community members, by anyone who drives by. Years ago, one of our kids made a big sign that we put up at the beginning of December out in front of our building. And since we're on a very busy street, there's a lot of people that see that sign.
Yes, it's very busy out here.
And come in, and they tell us some wonderful, wonderful stories about, you know, why they feel it's important to bring food to other people at this time of year. So that's an incredible blessing. And then finally, one of our most popular programs is called Voices, which is views, opinions, issues, and concerns expressed safely. And those are small group reflections. We have a circle keeper who comes in a couple times a month, and they cover a wide variety of topics. We had one on Wednesday. I know they spoke about values. And one of the neat things that she did Wednesday was went around the group, and they talked about the roses and the thorns in their lives. Where they have an opportunity to look at something that's good, because there is always something good somewhere, but also to look at the thorns and the difficult times. And when they're in a group like that, they're finding out that everybody else has those same issues, and that's really important for them to have that opportunity. We end that every session with a pizza because, you know, you got to feed these kids.
Well, you know, you're right. Like, you got to feed them, but it sounds to me that not only are you feeding them physically, but you're feeding them spiritually.
And that's exactly what we're trying to do.
And you're doing it in a way that is not intrusive. Mm-hmm. You're doing it in a way, I know these circles, sometimes they're called peace circles,
right,
and they're called other things, but the fact of the matter is these kids have to trust one another.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be in an environment that allows them to release some of that anxiety, concerns, whatever the issues they're dealing with. They've got to be somewhere where they're comfortable to do that.
Right. And, you know, it was very interesting the other day. We had a little issue with a cell phone that disappeared and then reappeared. And not the first time, won't be the last time, I'm sure. But the kids wanted to get to the bottom of it. And sometimes that can be a very volatile situation, and it can get angry, and there can be a lot of issues. I was so impressed that these kids sat down, and they called in separately the two people that they thought may have been involved in this problem and had a conversation that stayed calm. They listened. They actually didn't interrupt. They didn't all jump in. There must have been 15 kids that were involved in this listening process. And, you know, they never got to the bottom of it, and that's okay. But what was really impressive was that they were able to sit and talk about it and try to get to the bottom. I'm sorry. They're playing basketball
I was wondering where that noise was coming from, but now I see. Interesting how, you know, kids, it's interesting. It reminds me of my babies when you're on the telephone or something, and it was quiet. It wasn't that loud. But once we got the interviewing, I guess, they started making this noise. But that's good because, you know, again, it shows that they're happy. They're at a place where they feel safe, and they're having a good time. It's obvious about that.
Right.
And so you are really doing a great job from what I can see from a ministerial standpoint. And many of these kids, you and I both know that they don't have the opportunity to express themselves at home.
Right.
You know, in many cases, there's either a single parent at home or there's two busy parents who are so busy their lives are that they don't have the time to sit down with their kids and find out what's going on.
Exactly.
Now, I'm interested to find out, how is it, though, that these kids were able to come together and hold this kind of court session without any facilitation?
You know, I think they have learned so much from our voices circles, and they've learned how to do it. You know, I was in the room because I wanted to make sure that it wasn't going to get ugly, but I didn't really have to jump in very much. They really kind of led it themselves, and they got the information they were looking for. And, you know, bottom line was he had his phone, and everyone was grateful that the phone had been returned, and the particulars were not nearly as important as what they had thought.
That's wonderful. And Peggy, thank you. We're going to take another commercial break, and we're going to join you again and ask you a few more questions about how is it that you stay afloat.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
During his visit to the U.S., Pope Francis called us to cooperate generously for the common good. Through the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, we lift up our Holy Father's message of walking with the poor. You can join the efforts made by CCHD by donating during the annual collection weekend on November 21st and 22nd. Visit chicagopeaceandjustice.org/CCHD to learn how you can contribute to ending poverty.
Trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple.
Lord, you have the words of everlasting.
Okay, we're back. I'm Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative, and we're here with
Peggy Goddard, who is the director of the Catholic Youth Ministry Center, directly across the street from Morgan Park High School, located at 1825 West Monterey Avenue. And listeners, you're not able to call in today because we're on site. You may have been hearing a lot of noise in the background, and certainly you have. The youth are having a lot of fun here, and it's really exciting to see all the activity that's going on, and much of it Peggy has explained to us. And Peggy, you know, again, I saw this video that you have, and it's saw, or rather, it showed that you served over 10,000 students thus far, or youth in this community. Mm-hmm. Tell me about, are there any situations or youth that stand out to you? Because out of all of these experiences, are there any that have stood out more than others, maybe?
You know, it actually is interesting that the very first young person I ever met on my first day of work here, it's a young woman whose name is now Alice Collins, and she was probably a sophomore in high school at that time. Her mom had told her she really should come over to this place, and Alice, she did everything for all the years that she was here as a student. Once she graduated and went on to college, she came back. She worked here for a few years. She served on our board for probably 10 or 15 years. Alice has a twin brother as well who went to Morgan Park and was a member of our center here. And Charlie is a carpenter by trade, but is pretty much can do almost anything. And he has spent countless hours here volunteering time to keep this old house still standing, because there's, you know, an old house has lots and lots of work to be done. So Alice is still around. You know, we had lunch last week. She is working out in the suburbs, and she came by and we got to visit for a little while at lunch. So
that's awesome.
It is. It's really, you know, that's what I know. It's an important place. Our board of directors is probably about 65-70% alumni. Their hearts are in this place. They want to see the place continue, and they're willing to work really hard to make sure that happens. Every year they do a big fundraiser. We've been doing that for, I think, 7 years now in the spring. It's May 21st at Bourbon Street. If anyone is interested in attending, it's basically one of the things that keeps us afloat right now.
Well, that is great. And you mentioned that there's a good percentage of those who were here as students. They're now on your board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's when you know that you're really doing something right, I think. And that's when people come back and they give back.
Right.
And I think that's part of what you're trying to teach here, about giving back. And again, it's a wonderful ministry. How else are you being helped financially? You know, you seem somewhat like myself, a standalone Catholic ministry without the direct connection to the church or the archdiocese.
Right.
So what other support do you have out there?
Well, you know, we do have one Catholic parish, St. Barnabas, still has helped us with contributions since we began.
Okay.
When the center first began, all the parishes in the community made annual contributions. But as time went on and their parishes changed and the demographics of the school changed and there weren't many Catholic students attending, those funds kind of dropped off.
Okay.
We did have a grant with the state for several years, more than 20. That has disappeared as well, as it has for pretty much anyone in the state of Illinois right now. We actually were done about 6 or 7 years ago. I have a city grant with the Department of Family and Support Services to provide for an after-school program that we've probably had for 20-some years as well. And the Sisters of Mercy, the West Midwest community, have given us a Mercy Ministry grant every year now for about 5 years.
Excellent.
They really have been key in keeping our doors open, because the struggle, the financial struggles are very real and they're very constant. And their gift to us every year has been very important in keeping our doors open.
Well, God bless the Sisters of Mercy. And so if you are listening this morning, you can contact Peggy and you can reach her at 773-881-0193, and I'm sure she'll be happy to take any kind of assistance that you're able to provide, and of course, most certainly monetarily. She's located here at 1825 West Monterey Avenue,
Chicago 60643. And I believe this is your website here, www.cymcatmphs.com.
That's right.
Again, cymcatmphs.com. And, of course, Peggy and her staff would love to have you give her a call or either write a check, of course, so that we can help this wonderful ministry out. Peggy, we would like to talk to some youth as well. And is it possible that we could bring a few in and we can talk to them and get an idea of what their experiences are here?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's do that as well. Anthony, how are you?
I'm fine, sir.
Anthony, thank you for taking the time out to tell us briefly about your experiences here. So why is it that you come to the Blue House, and what are you getting from it, if you will?
Well, the Blue House, to me, it serves as a bit of a comfort zone. You know, I can just come here. I'm surrounded by nice people. Well, commonly, they're friends of mine. And we just come here, and it serves to be just like a hangout spot. I can come here without any worries and just have fun with my friends. We play pool, beanbags, we have computers, they have snacks, and to me, I find it very pleasing.
Wow.
And it serves to be, I keep using that word, it serves to be
it's okay.
as, I want to say like a little safe zone for kids to, like, you know, come around, for Morgan Park kids just to come to, you know, if they want to, like, get any homework done or do any academic activities, any activities at all, they can just come here and be safe in their mindset. And that's why I figured that this place is, to me, the ideal spot to come to at the school.
Awesome. And so how often are you here, Anthony?
Every day, every school day.
I think that's great. And you know what? The word that you use, it serves. I think that's why Peggy Goddard and her staff and the Blue House is here, is to serve you. So that's actually a very appropriate word, considering that it's a ministerial work that she's doing here. And as we said, it's a great job. So I think that word is most appropriate. And we have here also Sade. Hi, Sade.
Hi.
And how are you?
Good.
Okay, the same question for you. Why do you come here, and what is it that it does for you as a youth at Morgan Park High School?
I come here because I get to meet new people, and it helps keep people off the street, well, kids off the street.
Including you.
Yeah. And it helps me not be alone, and you can come here when you need to feel safe.
And I think something like this is a valuable asset to be in the community, right?
Yes.
Do you know of any other house or place you could go that could provide this kind of safety and activities?
No.
And then Anthony mentioned, too, that they serve snacks here. I don't know if you can go anywhere and do that as a youth your age and feel safe, have activities, and then you got some snacks, too? Wow. Okay, so what year are you in?
Sophomore.
You're a sophomore?
Yes.
And Anthony, you're a senior?
Senior, yes.
You're a senior. So what are you going to do after you leave here, Morgan Park?
College.
College. Excellent.
I'm going to major in computer engineering.
Oh, wow. Computer engineering. So you're no sloth. That's excellent. Look, I appreciate you both coming out this afternoon to share some time with me. I just want our listening audience to get an idea of the comfort that you find in coming here. So thanks a lot. And I wish you much success, Anthony, in your college endeavors.
Thank you.
And Sade, maybe we'll talk to you again sometime. So Peggy, thank you for having the youth, Anthony and Sade, here to join us. It was a wonderful little conversation with them. And we got approximately about a minute left in our interview. What would you like during these holidays? What kind of message would you like to send out to our listening audience this morning?
You know, it's the same message I like to send out year-round, that I think we all owe it to our young people, to mentor our young people, to be there for our young people in this the way things are going right now in the city with the violence, particularly on young black men, we owe it to these kids to let them know that we care about them, to help them through all these tough times. High school, you know, it's not easy out there. Like, it certainly isn't as easy as it was when I was coming up. And we have an obligation. I firmly believe that as Catholic people, as Christian people, we have an obligation to make sure that we do everything we can to help young people today.
Well, Peggy Goddard, director here at the Catholic Youth Ministry Center, you are certainly serving that purpose, and you are fulfilling that obligation. We thank you this morning for this interview, and we hope that you'll get some listeners calling you and asking how they can help.
Great.
God bless you and enjoy the holidays.
Thank you, and the same to you, Jeff.
All right.